Please take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read the first 20 verses of this chapter. Hear God's word from Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at all those things which they were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
About 2 years after Deb and I were married, we went to Florida to visit her folks around Christmas time, and we attended the church where we had been married. The pastor who had married us had moved on to another call, and the church was temporarily without a minister, and so there were several folks that were filling in. This was the Sunday right at Christmas time, and they had obtained the services of a retired minister who preached on the text that I've read to you today. The sermon that he preached went like this. It was a heavenly choir. It was a bunch of hard-working guys. And whenever God doesn't know what else to do, he sends a baby. The first time in my life, I as a young man went up to an older man and rebuked him for what he said. Told him that the gospel as he presented it there, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way he presented it, it was God sitting in heaven, wringing his hands, wondering what to do. "Oh, I know, I'll send my son." I said, "The Bible from beginning to end is full of Christ. It's about Christ. Christ is the central theme. He is the story of the ages. He is not an afterthought." And what a story. An incredible account. Sure, there were hard-working shepherds in this particular account. They're out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. They're working hard. These are men who were despised and very poor. Shepherds in Israel in Jesus' day were not thought very highly of. They were considered often to be untrustworthy. They couldn't even testify in a court of law because they were thought to be liars. Because they traveled around with their flocks from place to place, Many people considered them to be thieves. And yet Christ was born for the purpose of preaching to the poor and downtrodden, just like these shepherds. The very first sermon that our Savior preached was from Isaiah chapter 61, where he took the scroll and standing up read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." And so the gospel is preached to the type of men to whom Christ had also come to preach. They're taking turns watching their flocks in a field at night, and all of a sudden the angel of the Lord appears to them. "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord surrounded them, and they were terrified." King James says, "sore afraid." What's sore afraid? Greatly afraid, it says in the New King James. They were terrified. Why? Because they have seen, number one, an angel, and number two, the glory of God. Think about angels for a minute. Angels in the Bible are not these beautiful women with wings. Angels in the Bible are terrifying creatures that wield swords. The very first account of angels we find in Scripture is where they guard the Garden of Eden so that Adam and Eve cannot enter again after having been kicked out because of their sin. They guard it with a flaming sword that turns every which way. Encounter with an angel is a terrifying thing, and these men see this angel from God, a mighty warrior sent from God, and they see the glory of God, and this has got to terrify them. They were living at a time that very few of us really can experience what they saw at night. Now, I know that if you went outside after the hurricane and looked up at the sky at night, and it was clear on that particular night, and because there was no electricity in the area, you got a chance to see something that was similar to what they saw in their day. Because without electric lights, there are billions of stars in the sky. There's beautiful dark sky with all of these stars. A little campfire over here, but it's not doing much to prevent you from seeing the heavens. And all of a sudden, the sky lights up with the glory of God, brighter than day. Paul talked about the glory of God at noonday, and the glory of God was brighter than the sun at noon. Imagine at night. You've gotten used to it being dark. All of a sudden, the whole sky is lit up, and here's this angel standing there. The glory of God is seen. The glory of God in Scripture was presented as the Shekinah cloud in the Old Testament. It was from His glory that God provided for the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. It was that glory cloud that covered them during the day so that the sun beating down on them as they traversed the desert would not destroy them. It was the glory cloud that shone with fire at night that provided heat to keep them from freezing to death in the desert. It was the glory that came down upon Mount Sinai when Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments. And what it looked like must have been incredible, because Exodus 24 says, "Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and on the seventh day He called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud." Well, what did it look like? The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Here's a mountain that's not a volcano, and it looks like a volcano. It looks like it's on fire. Scared them to death. The glory fills the tabernacle in the wilderness. Remember, after the tabernacle had been completed, that this glory cloud comes down, it covers the tabernacle and enters the tabernacle, and it was from this glory cloud that God sent forth fire to consume the offerings that were given when Aaron and his sons were consecrated as priests. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people, it says in Leviticus 9. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat of the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. That's what the shepherds are doing. When people encounter the glory of God, A typical response is to fall down and try to hide from the glory of God. Isaiah did the same thing in Isaiah chapter 6. He sees the seraphim calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. The train of God's robe fills the temple." And Isaiah falls on his face and says, "Woe is me! I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have beheld the Lord of glory." He's terrified. The Israelites were terrified. The shepherds were terrified. The glory of God terrifies sinners. That's the point. It terrifies sinners. The shepherds are terrified because they, like Isaiah, they, like the Israelites, they, like Moses and the others, are terrified because they recognize that they are sinners in the presence of a holy God and they ought to die. So they tremble and they fall on their faces and they try to hide. The glory of God fills the heavens and this angel is preaching to them. But he preaches words of comfort. He doesn't come to say, "It's time to make your peace with God." He doesn't say that. He comes to bring a good announcement to them. Well, why? To the shepherds. Why did God pick these fellows to receive the announcement? Wouldn't it have been better? I mean, if an angel were going to come and bring with him the glory of heaven, wouldn't it have been better for this angel to go to the palace in Jerusalem and announce to Herod, "The Christ child is born"? To announce to Jerusalem, "The Messiah has come"? Well, Herod proved himself to be Christ's mortal enemy. The people in Jerusalem, while it appeared on the surface that they would accept him, truly rejected him, wanted nothing to do with it. They wanted God on their own terms. They're just like everybody else. "Yes, I'll accept this as long as I get it along with my way." And the most important part is my way. And so God sends this angel and others to these shepherds because God presents Himself to us as our shepherd. Psalm 23, for example. He is our shepherd. He's the one who looks after us. He's the one who provides for us. He provides food for us. He provides shelter for us. He's the one who goes after us to bring us back when we go astray. We're called sheep, which is not a good thing. Sheep are stupid animals. They'll follow the crowd, often to the point of drowning themselves in a river. Well, it looks like that's good to drink. And just go over and get your wool wet, and down you go. And so they need a keeper. And that keeper in Scripture is called a shepherd. And it is God who is our shepherd. And so these shepherds hear of the announcement that there is one who is coming, and he's not called the shepherd here, but he himself calls himself the good shepherd. Christ is the good shepherd. We have gone astray like sheep, and Christ has come to bring us back to the fold of God. He has come as the good shepherd to lay down his life for the sheep. King David, before he became king, was a shepherd. It was good training to take care of people, be able to take care of dumb animals. And so, the shepherds, quite fitting recipients, because God is our shepherd and Christ is coming to be the good shepherd, and these shepherds hear this announcement. And the announcement is an announcement where the angel says to them, "Stop being terrified." Because that's what's going on. They see their sinfulness, they see God's holiness and His glory, and they are terrified. And the angels have come, this angel in particular has come to announce the good news of the birth of Christ, the one who would take away their sin, who would reconcile them to God. And so he's telling them, you don't any longer need to be afraid of God as sinners who fear his wrath, but rather through this one who was born in Bethlehem, your sins will be paid for, and you can come to God and fear him in the right way. You can fear him with reverent awe and with service throughout your life. The good news. For behold, I preach the gospel to you. Is what this angel said, literally. I announce the gospel. I bring you good tidings. The gospel is preached to this lowly band of men on this hillside at night. The gospel of great joy, which shall be to all people. What greater joy can exist than to realize that God Himself has brought about the answer to your greatest need, that God Himself has provided Christ who will cleanse you from your sins by His own sacrifice upon the cross. That's good news. It's good news for all people, regardless of age or race or sex or social standing or wealth or education or where you live in the world. It's for all people. But even though it is a message of great joy, it still is only for those who receive that gospel by faith. Those who would turn their backs on Christ and not receive it cannot receive the joy that the gospel contains. The message is in the city of David, which was obviously Bethlehem. It's called that because that's where David was born. That's where he took care of his father's sheep. In the city of David, there is born to you this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior. Jesus' name means Savior. Matthew 1:21. When the angel announced to Joseph that Mary was going to bear this child, he said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus means God saves. Jehovah saves. Did you know that the word Savior is only found twice in the New Testament? It's found here. It is found in John 4:42. Where after the Samaritan woman at the well has heard the gospel from the lips of Christ and she's gone back to her city and she's told the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And they all rush out and they hear Jesus. They come back to the woman and they say, "Now we have seen him and we know this is the Savior of the world." The Savior. The one who provides salvation through his atonement. Saves us from our sins. He's the Christ. The Greek word Christ and the Hebrew word Messiah mean the same thing. They mean the anointed one of God. He's anointed by God to be our prophet, our priest, and our king. He's our prophet because he reveals God to us. When you look upon Christ in the Scriptures, you look upon the very face of God. When you see Christ as our priest, he is the one who came to offer himself as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of his people. And he continues as priest to pray for us and to intercede for us, even in heaven today. And he's our king. He's our king in the sense that he has come to subdue us to himself. He has to, first of all, conquer us because we're sinners, and then subdue our hearts and subdue our sins in us, and also subdue our enemies around us. He's our king. Christ the Lord, it says. He's not only man, he's also God. God come in the flesh. The only Son of God. Jesus Christ is equal with the Father in eternity and power and glory. He is the divine King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the ruler of the universe, and he's come to be born as a child in this place. So the angel gave them a sign. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. The proof of the truth of what this angel is telling them is that the shepherds will be able to actually find this as the sign. They will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. They will find a baby not in a crib, but lying in a manger, a trough full of straw for animals to eat. How different from the glory of heaven, the glory of being king in heaven, to find a baby in such low condition, in a stable, wrapped in strips of cloth. I mean, what would you expect? You would expect to find this baby in a nursery in the palace in Jerusalem, a nursery that has golden walls in a golden cradle wrapped up in beautiful embroidered cloth imported all the way from China. Maybe even a little crown on his head. No, that's not what you're going to find. You're going to find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a trough for animals in Bethlehem. Yet this is part of God's plan. Part of God's plan to save us. The humble birth of His Son and the sign that the shepherds received that the angel's words were true. And suddenly the angel is no longer alone. There in the glory of God in heaven is not just one angel, but a whole multitude of angels. And it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. Now, I happened to get a copy just recently of the 1599 Geneva Bible. That was the one that our Puritan forefathers used before this brand new translation called the King James ever came out. And in the 1599 Geneva Bible, it says, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly soldiers. That's what the word host means here, folks. This is the army of God. God sent soldiers from heaven to preach peace to earth. What an amazing thing. This is also not a choir. It doesn't. There's no word singing in here anywhere, okay? This is an announcement brought by soldiers from heaven above to earth, praising God. God sends an army from heaven announcing peace on earth through the birth of God's own Son. The angels have been with Christ in heaven. Now they're pleased to announce His birth as the Savior of sinners in this world. And this is an event that really astounded the angels. The angels, honestly, even though they are powerful creatures and fearsome warriors, they didn't have a clue what God was going to do until He did it. The Bible tells us that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're told that the Old Testament saints, about them. To them, the Old Testament saints, it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering the things which have now been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. In other words, the point was, when God sent Christ to earth, this was something that the angels in heaven said, wow, we never would have thought of that. What an amazing thing. How was God going to deal with sin? Why, He sent His own Son in this way. What an incredible thing. And they were watching. They were longing to look into the plan of God, but it wasn't told to them. They had to watch it unfold just like mankind had to watch it unfold. The Son of God was born in lowly condition. And this was awesome proof to them of God's great love for men. Glory to God in the highest. They want all of creation to praise God. And on earth, peace. Peace that comes about because God has established peace through His Son, Jesus Christ. Peace between God and man. Our sin had ruptured any kind of relationship that we could ever have with God. And God has reestablished that in Christ so that we can have peace with God rather than being at war with God. And it comes about through Jesus. reconciliation between God and man. And also that peace that comes about as an inner assurance in our hearts that we have a share in that peace that Christ has provided with God. Peace, goodwill toward men, not peace to men of goodwill. You know why? Because there ain't no such critter. There are no men of goodwill. Christ didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And so Christ did not die for those who deserve to be saved. He didn't die for men of goodwill. He died for God's elect people. He died for sinners who are saved by God's grace alone. Instead, it's peace among those upon whom God's favor rests. Peace among those with whom God is pleased. God is pleased with. God's favor rests upon sinners. Not because we deserve it. Certainly we don't. But because God is a sovereign God. And God has sovereignly decided to save His people from our sins through the sacrifice of His own Son upon the cross. And so this message that the angels preach is not a message of man's merit. God's going to preach peace to you as long as you're a bunch of good guys. No. It's a message of God's grace. God announces grace to you. He announces peace to those upon whom He is showering His good pleasure. And then, all of a sudden, they're gone. Whether they slowly ascend back into heaven making this announcement, whether they were singing while they were doing it, the Bible doesn't say that. They're gone. The sky turns dark again. The shepherds turn to one another and they look at each other and all of a sudden they respond to this message with faith. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds looked at one another. They said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." The fear that was in their hearts before is gone. It's gone because they have believed the message that these angels have preached to them. It's been replaced with joy in their understanding of the gospel message that God is going to provide salvation through His Son, that He's going to provide the one who will bring atonement, who will bring reconciliation, who will save us from our sins. So they're joyful. Without doubting, they set out at once for Bethlehem to see with their own eyes the events that the angels have declared. And they come with haste. They don't lag. They don't say, "Well, I'll get around to it tomorrow." They go then. And they find Mary and Joseph, and they find this baby that's been foretold lying wrapped in strips of cloth in a manger. Exactly as it had been proclaimed to them. The words of the angels have been confirmed. Christ's humble birth has been seen. And they know that the truth is, this is the King of Heaven lying in a stall. So what do they do? They say, "Well, you know, that was really nice. We're so glad the angels told us about that. What's on TV?" No. What they do at this particular point is they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. People are amazed at their message. They could not keep quiet about what they had seen and heard. They could not help but spread the word of the gospel about this child who was to be the Christ. And so they continue to praise God for what He has done, for His faithfulness, for His grace, for His mercy. Their lives have been changed once and forever by the message that they've received. The angel preached the gospel. They've believed it, and they are changed men. And now they're constantly full of praise for the God who has prophesied these things, fulfilled the prophecies, and told them about it so that they could tell others about it. And so I guess the question is, how are you responding to the gospel this Christmas? Are you full of the message of the Savior? are you silent about him? If you've heard the message that these heavenly hosts spoke to the shepherds through the scriptures, how can you keep silent? How can you help but glorify and praise this God who has given the gift of His Son to save you from your sins? If you're not worshiping the Son of God by telling others about Him, then you really don't understand what the angel said to the shepherds. Let's pray. Father, what a marvelous message this is, and how we thank you that it came about through angelic hosts telling these men the good news of Christ, the Savior of sinners. Father, I pray that each of us would respond to the message in the same way that they did, that we would see from the Scriptures the truth of what is presented here, and Father, that we would do as they did also, that we would proclaim widely the truth of these things. We pray that others also would have the same response that those who heard the shepherds had, that they too would marvel and believe the things that we would tell them about our wonderful Savior. We ask all of this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.